Well, let's continue our discussion of how prayer can be a means of spiritual growth. Now, last week we talked about having balance in our prayers. Tonight we're going to talk about praying for others and how important that can be in our prayer life. You know, if you look at the prayer life of a man like Paul, you see him frequently praying for other people. And I just want to read through this list very quickly. And after we're done, we'll make some observations. Can I get somebody to read Romans 1 at verse 9? Okay, let's read Ephesians 1, 5, 15 through 16.
But all saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers.
How about Philippians 1, 3 and 4? Go ahead.
I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all.
How about Colossians 1, verses 3 and then verse 9?
We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2.
We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers.
How about the second chapter, verse 13?
This reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its works in you who believe.
And chapter 3, verse 9 and 10.
We have so much joy before God because of you, and we thank you for you, but we cannot thank you enough for all the joy we feel. We continue praying with all our hearts to be night and day. We pray that you can give, that we can see you again and give you all the things you need to make your faith strong.
How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3?
We are always giving thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is only fitting, because your faith is increasing abundantly, and the love of each and every one of you for one another grows ever greater.
And then verse 11.
To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will consider you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power.
And 2 Timothy 1 at verse 3. And Philemon verses 4 through 7.
I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints.
Okay, so looking at all of those passages together, what observations would you make about Paul and the way that he felt about praying for other people? Okay.
It seemed that he prayed really for their spiritual well-being, their spiritual growth. And he was also, when he told them about how he prayed for them, it was very complimentary and very encouraging that, you know, I'm bringing my request before God on your behalf and how much I love you and how much I care for you. So he was, when he told them about it, he was telling them in a very loving and affirming way.
Okay. What else?
There were a lot of we's. Paul also included others that prayed along with him for these people.
Okay. That's an interesting comment, that not only did he pray, but others prayed as well. What else? Okay. Anything else? Yeah, Faye. Can you expand that? What?
From the bottom of his heart and with great fervor.
Okay.
He doesn't really say it, but I get a sense of his gratitude. I mean, he says, I thank God for you and for you in my life. And like the Philemon, he wrote to Philemon, he said, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So I think he's saying, I'm grateful for you, so I've expressed my gratitude to God. And because he does, he tells the other churches and groups of believers, I am thankful for you. And so I think he recognizes how their faithfulness encourages him, and he recognizes that and shares that with God.
Okay. Yeah, Carol?
He said he was glad that they knew that the prayers, that the word came from God and not from man. And in expressing it in this way, it's a positive plus for them. But it also is telling any congregation or any people that have thought that the word came from man, it's giving them the encouragement, not a lash to say you're not doing this, but it's encouraging those who might not be doing that by being positive towards these other people.
Interesting comment. Anybody else? Anybody at home? Comments?
He was busy reminding many people that he was not the only one. He was encouraging people to stand up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's not among this list, but we also know there are times when Paul asked for prayers for him.
That's true.
So he valued, I think, you're seeing here where he values praying for one another.
Okay. He valued prayer, so he was willing to pray for somebody else. And the very fact that he valued prayer meant, please pray for me. So that's kind of two sides of the same coin. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. Okay. Can you expand that a little?
With sincerity, love, and the desire to help other people and to make his request known to God for him.
Okay. Okay. Let's take a little bit deeper dive here, and let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3. First, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians 3. And I'll read this from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. He says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy we feel for you or for your sake before our God. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what's lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and make the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. So, as I read a passage like this where Paul spends a little bit more time kind of explaining his prayer, we saw so many statements where he says, I pray for you earnestly, I pray for you night and day. We could look at Romans, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. There, so many times, it's such a short statement that we don't really quite appreciate, I think, what Paul was really interested in and why Paul prayed. In 1 Thessalonians 2, at verses 17 beginning, he says it this way. Now, you have to remember, Paul is writing this from prison, and he is reminding them of some things that he wanted to do. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 2 at verse 17 and then kind of couple that with the passage that we've read in chapter 3. And we'll read down through verse 8 in chapter 3. So 1 Thessalonians 2 at verse 17 all the way through 3 at verse 8.
Are you asking for someone to read that?
Yeah.
Okay. I follow that. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again. But Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or for the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord.
Okay. And I think what's happened is because Paul is not with them anymore, he's worried about them. And that was kind of his characteristic. Paul seems to be a very compassionate, caring person. Whether he's with somebody face to face or he's just thinking about some people that he's known. And you kind of see that in all of the letters that he ends, because he always talks about different people. So Paul seems to be a person who is really caring and compassionate, and he's worried about their spiritual welfare because he's not with them. And then you see him saying, I was overjoyed when I got a report about your faith and your love and your perseverance. I was so excited about that. So you see him expressing his concern and then saying, when I heard you were doing okay, I was just overjoyed. And that's verses 6 through 8. Let's compare verses 6 through 8 with some of the things that John says. Can I get somebody to read 2 John verse 4?
I was very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have received the commandment to do from the Father.
Okay. So John seems to be an apostle who is consumed by relationships, and he's excited that his children are doing well. And that's an enduring term, isn't it? He thought about those people as his children, and so he prayed for them. How many people have children that they pray for every day? And we really mean it. Let's look at 3 John, verses 3 and 4.
I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth. Even as thou walkest in truth, greater joy have I none than this, hear of my children walking in the truth.
Okay. This is just the way that he is. I can't imagine Paul or John, or, well, I can't really imagine any of the apostles rejoicing because some unfortunate circumstance had befallen somebody else. And, you know, I have to admit, I'm probably like other people. I read the news, and I read the news most carefully when it's a train wreck. When somebody has just done something really stupid. And I pay attention to that. I can't imagine Paul ever doing that. I can't imagine John ever. He just wasn't that kind of person. Yeah.
I think also that's sort of mentioned it before, but we have so many churches that they said that you have need of milk now. Are you fallen away? How quickly you went away from the original word. And so for him to be able to, or either any of them to be able to bless them and to thank God that they're doing well and that it brings joy to his heart. And again, it also, to anyone who's not doing that, it's an encouragement.
And it was a heartbreak when he heard that somebody had rejected God and had gone back to what they were before. He was heartbroken. And always would have been. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 6. And of course, this is in the context of talking about love, which is a relationship thing. 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 6, he says, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. And that's what love is. You never rejoice when somebody has ill fortune or because they've brought something on themselves. 2 Corinthians 11, same kind of thing. Verses 28 and 29. He says, apart from other things, there's daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who's weak? And I'm not weak. Who is made to fall? And I'm not indignant. So he was upset that some were falling. But he wasn't upset so much at them. The way this reads is, who is made to fall? And I'm not indignant that they were made to fall. I just can't stand that. And he expresses his thankfulness. And several people have mentioned how he is thankful for them. So he talks about the reasons for their prayer. Or for his prayer. He prayed for them regularly because he wanted an opportunity to see them and strengthen them. That was 1 Thessalonians 3 at verse 10. What did we lose? Battery power here? Whoa. Nice to know he can't do that any easier than I can. So he prayed for them regularly. And this is what I think is really interesting about Paul. He prays for them by name. And there is this mixture of his prayer for them and how he saw himself as God's means of answering his prayer. And I think that's really important. He prays that they would be strengthened. But then in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, he wants to come to them because he can be a part of God answering this prayer that he's offered for the Thessalonians. And I think we have to be impressed with that. We pray that God will soften the hearts of those people that are rebelling against him. We need to mix that with the idea that we can be a part of softening their heart. And that's the step that I'm not sure that I have always taken. But I think it's a really important step. Yeah, Bill, did you have a comment?
Paul had a direct connection to God. Took him away from his old false belief to the new one. And everyone that he saved or helped to establish was precious, like a child to him, even though he was never a father. And being away from them would be like you or I taking a trip and leaving our kids with somebody else for a month or two, but being constantly worried that they weren't being taken care of properly.
Yeah.
And Paul had a huge family, you know, in his head and his heart. And he didn't want anybody that he saw saved to be lost.
And he wanted to be a part of God providing the answer. There's something very striking as you read through the book of Acts and you read about people praying to God that they might find God, and God used a person in every case to go talk to them. Just think about Paul when he saw before he becomes the Apostle Paul. He has seen God on the road to Damascus. He goes to Damascus and he is constantly in prayer. And then Ananias is the way that God answered that prayer. And I hope that somehow when I pray for other people, I hope that God will use me to be the answer to that prayer. And that's not arrogant. That's not saying that God has to have me and I'm on God's team and he's really lucky that he has me. There's no sense in that. But I think Paul understood you can't just pray for people. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and be the way that God is going to answer that prayer. So on Monday nights, we pray that God will bring one person to our door, that God will find a way to convert those people that need him so badly. And the second part of that is we promise that we'll uphold our part of the bargain, that we will be that person that takes them the gospel. So I just think that's terribly important, particularly when we're thinking about Bring a Friend Sunday. You know, we pray for our friends. Sometimes we have to be willing to step up and be the means that God uses to answer that prayer. So ask your friend. And his passion for others is reflected in his prayer life. He didn't just pray for them. He prayed for them that they would be perfected in holiness. This is 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 this time. He says, well, let's start in verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Here he is. We want God to bring us to you. And may the Lord make you increase in abounded love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So, Paul prayed for other people. Do you think that Paul's prayer for other people helped Paul himself to grow? Okay. That was a rhetorical question almost. There's, you know, absolutely. That's how he grew. And it's important to note that the way that he grew was because he made himself available to be the answer to his prayer. And I think that's an important thing for us to see. So any thoughts as we close this part of our discussion? Yeah.
That perfected in holiness, that's the whole journey that a Christian makes after they're baptized. That's what you're always striving for.
I think you're right. Yeah, Andrew. Or just had a bid. Okay. Babe. Or Tim. Sorry.
I think one of my takeaway programs is I want to be more like Paul and to be encouraging. And it's one thing for him to pray. I don't think he prayed instructively. I don't think the prayers that he prayed was so, you know, I think I'm going to be able to tell them that I prayed for them this way so that not only will they know that I'm praying for them, and I'm encouraging them, but they'll see the error. Somebody else might look at that and see the error, that, you know, that I'm correcting that. I don't think it was instructive in any way. I think it was for a mutual benefit. And I for him to even tell them that he prayed for them that way. But I think that's a lesson for us, is that we should tell one another when someone is, you see their faith and you see their service and you see that they have a servant's heart. You see that they're devoting themselves to whatever work they have been called to do. And I think we need to acknowledge that and recognize they're not doing it for the glory. They're not doing it for the recognition. They're doing it from a servant's heart. But Paul wasn't telling them that for their glory. He was telling them that to glorify God. But he was telling them, and I think it's important for us to do that, for us to tell one another, you know, I think about you, and I pray for you, and I see the work that you're doing. And I think your work is critical. You have gifts, you have things that you do. And by you being faithful and doing the work that you feel like you're called to do, it might be different than my work, but it encourages me. It makes me stronger to see what you do in the Lord. I think that's important for us, and I think that's where I fall down. I don't do that enough. I don't let people know how I value them and I value their service. And the other part of this too is I think that's a really important point. Another takeaway is how can I make myself available to God to use me in His service more completely and more effectively. I think that's really important that, you know, that Paul said, you know, I want to be with you because we have this mutual thing going on, and I want to make you stronger. And by the way, when I do that, you make me stronger. And I think so that's a good takeaway. I'm glad that you brought that out, because I think that's a way that I need to start thinking about my prayers to God, is when I ask Him for something, even if I just say, show me what my role in this is. Show me where I can be your servant and where you might be able to use me to answer this prayer.
He says the same thing in Romans. In Romans, it's just a little more complicated to try to tease it out. But I think he says the same thing in Romans. I long to come and see you to impart some spiritual gift to you. I don't think that was Paul saying, I'm such a great preacher that if I come to you, you will suddenly see the light. But I think Paul constantly wanted to make himself available as a servant of God. Other comments? Anything from folks on Zoom? Okay. We want you to be the kind of people that Paul was. And it may be that you reflect on your life and, you know, you say, I haven't done that as well as I should. All you need to do is pray and ask God for forgiveness. He's promised He would forgive and that He'll strengthen. And that's important. The Spirit works in us to provide us the strength that we need. And we all need strength. So if there's something we can do to help you, we want you to let us know.